the evening, I was talking about maintenance. Okay, we were looking at 2 Timothy 1 and the idea of maintaining a spiritual life. Maintenance might not be something that takes the glory. I know a friend of mine at work used to say when he was working at maintenance on a factory, he says we were a necessary evil. It says production got all the money. All the updated machinery was put towards production. It says maintenance had to do with a make do amend whatever their sort of cast offs were. It says, but if anything broke down, boy, were we useful then. What we're aiming for with the spiritual maintenance is that there isn't any breakdowns. You know, the idea of a stitch in time saving nine, you see something going and you intervene before it gets too far. I'm sure all of you have been in the situation where maybe you've put it off and then put it off a little bit longer and then it has broken. So you've had the need for maintenance, you've seen the need for maintenance, but you've not actually got on with it and done it. We looked about the gifts and the need to maintain and stir up the gifts that God has given us. Tonight, we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. If you've got your Bible, you turn to it. If you haven't got a Bible, there's some at the back if you need one. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. This is what it says. Paul writing to Timothy says, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching." What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. Literally, hold fast the pattern, the shape of the words that you've heard from me. The emphasis is not so much on the words themselves, though the words themselves are very important. Paul wasn't just spouting off. He was giving something that God had given him. So the words were important. But there was something that was even more important than the very words that he was saying. And that was the way he was teaching. The pattern. You see, we have situations today that are facing us that Paul never came across. We have things that are going off now that were never addressed directly in those days. So if we're simply keeping to the words themselves, we'd be struggling. But he says, keep a close eye on the pattern, the way things are delivered. He first of all says that it needs to be sound and that the pattern needs to be right. When he talks about a pattern, he's talking about the form of the thing, the example, the type, the way it's done. You have another example in 1 Timothy 1:16, a little bit further on, where it says that Jesus Christ might display his immense patience as an example or a pattern. He uses exactly the same words for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. The actual word pattern there, it comes from two words in Greek. One is talking about a die, a stamp, a seal if you like, and the idea that that is placed onto something and it leaves a pattern, a mark, into that. Sometimes it's with wax. You know, when you have by-elections, those boxes are sealed. Yeah, okay. We have other things, you know, when you get a diploma or whatever, sometimes you get a seal on the bottom. A die or a stamp, a cast has been placed on it and it's left a mark. What Paul's saying is, look how that's formed. Look how the teaching is formed and keep to that form. Talking about it being sound, free from any mixture of error. Keep it pure. We need to maintain sound teaching, and we need to follow the form that Paul showed us. Sometimes to sort out what's sound from unsound, we need to have a look at some unsound teaching. And I'm going to give you one example. When I was a young Christian, there was a guy in the church that I was there, and he was very much into the baptism of the Spirit. One of the things he said to me was, Have you ever seen what it says in 1 John 2:27? 1 John 2:27. Would anybody like to read that for us? 1 John 2, verse 27. Somebody read that out for us, please.
As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it was taught you, remain in him.
Okay. What he said to me was this. He says the anointing is the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Yeah? Would you agree with that? Yeah? Sounds good. Then he says, you do not need anybody to teach you. He says, once you've got the Holy Spirit, he says you can forget about these teachers. He says you don't need to listen to them anymore. He says God's speaking directly to you. Now, as a young Christian, I didn't think that sounded quite right. Couldn't actually say it was wrong, because I couldn't prove it. And he was pointing to a scripture and showing it me, and I'm thinking, doesn't actually sound right, that. But, as I say, I was a young Christian, and he was so many more years in the faith than me, so I sort of, don't quite understand this then. But the fact of the matter is, that is not what it's saying. In 2 Timothy 2 and chapter 2, verse 2 says this, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. We don't need anybody to teach us. Why are we encouraging other people to teach? If we don't need teachers, why are we seeking to get more teachers? Acts 13 verse 1 says this, now in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers. People who were gifted by the Spirit of God were prophesying, but they were also teaching. If you look in Ephesians 4 verses 11 to 12, it talks about the ministry gifts. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors and teachers. So if we don't need teachers, why is Christ giving us teachers? Now I could go back to him and say, hang on a minute, no, you've taken this out of context. But the teaching that he was giving me wasn't sound. There was some truth in it, but there was some error in it as well. And in some ways he was a bit of a sort of a rebel who thought he knew best and he didn't need anybody else to tell him. And sure enough, he found a verse to sort of back up his position. But Paul says we should stick to sound teaching. If something sounds good, how does it fit with the rest of the word? So how do we maintain our spiritual lives? Well, the fact of the matter is that first of all, we do need to be able to teach ourselves. We try in this church through what's preached, through what's taught in the Bible studies on Thursday evenings, every other Thursday, to bring the word of God. Sometimes you'll realise, sometimes you won't, but the people who are leading sometimes have absolutely no idea what's being preached, and yet they marry up perfectly. God is drawing it together. There's nothing wrong with saying, can you have this particular song or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. But so often, God, without that sort of working together, brings it together. But you need more than that. You need God speaking to you. You need God speaking into your personal situation. What's God saying to each one of us as we read the word? We need to read that word. Let his Holy Spirit speak to us. As it said in John, the Holy Spirit does speak to us and he does teach us. He enlightens us, speaks into our situations. We were at Cherry Tree Court this morning. I was talking about Julie's aunt who was feeling very low after an operation. And somebody had given her some daily devotions and she was working her way through them. These had been actually written in 1935. And on the 7th of October, she was feeling really low. And she said that she was feeling weak because of the operation. And the reading that day was where God said, In your weakness, I am strong. So something that had been arranged so many years before, God timed it to fit perfectly. She hadn't been reading the Bible to her by herself, using readings or whatever. How could God have spoken to her? We need to be there each day with God's word. And we need to be able to teach ourselves. We need to hear directly from God himself. In Hebrews 5 verses 11 to 14 it talks about that. And in verse 12 it says, in fact by this time you've had so much teaching, you ought to be teachers yourself, but you're not. You're not matured, you're not developed. God wants us to grow. He wants to be able to speak to us and bring that living word to each one of us. Not just milk. He wants to give us a developed meal, meat, as it says in Hebrews. 2 Timothy 3, 6-7, it talks about people sort of always learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. God wants to give us truth, personal truth, to speak into our situations by his Spirit as we need it. Not a case of in one ear and out the other, but something that we retain. Have you ever crammed for an exam? You've got some tests coming up, something's there, maybe you haven't really worked beforehand, and the night before you're there reading desperately, trying to get all this information into your head, and it feels like your head's a sieve and it's coming out almost as fast as it's going in. But somehow you managed to do it and you got through. A week later, you turn around and say, I can't remember anything. God doesn't want us to be like that, cramming for an exam. He wants us to live it, to apply it. You know, it tells us in Acts 17, 10 to 12, about Paul and Silas as they were going round preaching. They'd had a rough time in Thessalonica. And from there, they moved on to a place called Berea. This is what it says. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Here was a guy who was coming along and saying things that were strange, different, new, fresh. And it had the ring of truth. But they actually went home, examined the word and said, what this guy's saying is real. There was one guy who was leading a Bible study, and it was sort of a youth Bible study. And as he was there, he noticed that nobody had got a Bible. So I thought, well, what I'm going to do is show them that they need to follow. So he says, turn to the book of Isaiah, because obviously nobody had a Bible. Nobody did. Isaiah's got 66 chapters in it. He says, turn to Isaiah chapter 68. Everybody's there sagely nodding, yeah, okay. And then he just made up a load of rubbish. And said, what do you think to that? You know, what's God saying to you from this? And there were various comments coming back. And they said to them, you find me Isaiah chapter 68. Of course, then they started looking for it, and there is no Isaiah chapter 68. He says, be like the Bereans, noble. Check the word. Is what is being said true? Is it real? Does it fit with Scripture? The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us individually, and we need that. We need to study for ourselves. It's not a case of, I'll study by myself and I don't need anybody else. We can actually have both. And you might be surprised how things link together and God speaks in both ways. So to maintain our spiritual lives, we need to know the pattern. So what sort of pattern should you be looking for from a teacher of the word? What makes a good teacher? 1 Timothy 4:1-7 says this, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith, follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and to order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, because it's consecrated by the word of God and with prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truth of faith and of the good teaching that you followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths, old wives' tales, but rather train yourself to be godly. We see several things there. First of all, a good teacher needs to be listening to the right source. We can have ideas. It even says deceiving spirits. And there are people who are following things that aren't of God and proclaiming to be of God. We need to check out what is being said, and does it fit with the word? Good teachers need to be sensitive. It says there about people whose consciences have been seared. And the word that's used in the Greek there, we actually get our word cauterized from. Something's cauterized, it's burnt, it's seared, and it is without feeling. A conscience without feeling. A conscience needs to be softened and sensitive to the Spirit of God. Is the person who's teaching someone who is sensitive to what God's saying? Good teachers need to be nourished on the truth themselves. Good teachers need to be teachable. We need people who are listening, are hearing. So many times you'll see how messengers come that link in together, how things sort of follow on when nothing's pre-planned or predetermined, but God's organizing it. Good teachers need to be pursuing God for themselves. You know, you can't take somebody where you've never been. You need to be there, pushing ahead. In 1 Corinthians 4, 14-17, Paul is talking about teaching. He says to the Corinthians, "For this reason I've sent to you Timothy my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life, which agrees with what I teach." Paul never turned round and said, "Do as I say, not as I do." Anybody who teaches, anybody who tries to give the word of God, has got to live it themselves. Because if it's real, it's real for everybody. If it's true, it's true for everybody. Does the teacher live what the teacher teaches? Is it affecting them personally? Is it developing them personally? Is it being applied personally? Because if it is, then we need to imitate them. We need to see what's happening and say, yeah, that's the pattern. That's sound. That's the way to go. Hebrews 13:7 says this, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." Take the long look. How are they getting on? What's happening? Michael Card, who is a singer-songwriter, said that a guy who discipled him taught him so much. And he said he followed him because he could see his way of life was incorporating the things that he was teaching. And he could see that it was good. And this guy taught him so much. And at the end, as he contracted cancer, and he said to Michael Card, "I've taught you to live, now I'm going to teach you how to die. Because everything is used of God. And the teaching is incorporated into our lives. And it builds our lives, it changes our lives, it transforms our lives and helps us to fit the pattern." So look at the people who are teaching and see how it's working out for them. Is it right? Is it true? Because if it is, it affects everybody, and the truth is for everybody. Good teachers oppose what is wrong. In 1 Timothy 1, 3-4, it says this: "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people that they do not teach false doctrine." So many times what is false is, as I said at the start, this mixture of, yeah, there's a little bit of truth in there, there's some scriptural backup, but we've actually taken it out of context. We need to be looking and checking and seeing if what is said is true, if it's maintaining that sound pattern, is it fitting the right way? Good teaching will point us to Christ. Good teaching will point us to Christ. It will say, look, this is how it is. This is how it works. This is how it should be. Imitate. You know, the way that Jesus taught was very simple. First of all, he said to the disciples, come and watch what I'm doing. Yeah, come and see. And then what did he do? You go. You do it. You've watched me. Do it yourselves. That growth, that progression, that's what we're after. We don't want to be people who are simply taking in all the time, because Jesus wants us to actually be able to minister and to teach ourselves. Each one of us who knows the Lord is able to tell somebody else about the Lord and able to share what's happened to us on our life story. What things have worked for you? What things haven't? How has God spoken to you? Maybe God can speak to you each day. Maybe it's nothing tremendous, but every now and again, God will drop something into your heart, into your life, and you can share that with somebody else. And that's what God wants us to do, to grow so that we can all teach and share what he's given us. Good teachers promote love. Good teachers promote love. It's the teaching of Christ. He lived his life. He lived what he told the disciples was the right way. He didn't say, again, this is the way you should do it, but he actually lived it for them and said, come on, follow me. In 1 Timothy 1:5, Paul says, the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. A sincere faith, no error mixed in with it. And lastly, good teachers seek to pass on the baton. In 2 Timothy 2:2 it says this: and these things you have heard from me, say in the presence of many witnesses, and entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. The idea is that as we are taught, we develop and we teach. You might not be able to stand up at the front. You might not be able to deliver a sermon, but you can share what God has done for you. You can share how God is speaking to you. You can share the nuggets of truth that God has dropped into your heart that have affected your life for good. We seek to pass on the baton that others will develop and grow. As I said before, when I was talking last time, I've just done a service on the bike, 32,000 mile service. I had the manual. It told me exactly what I needed to do. It lays out step by step the procedure to be followed. What I had to change, what I had to check, what I had to adjust. Wonderful. But if I took no notice of it, what profit is there? Wonderful book, Haynes Manual. Yeah, everybody needs a Haynes Manual if you've got a car. But if it just stays on the shelf, what's the point? We need to respond. Quite a few times in the Gospel, Jesus delivered some speech, a parable, some teaching, and he finished it off with this saying: whoever as ears to hear, let them hear. Let them hear. Not in and out, but in and really absorb what's being said. A step-by-step process. Learning, understanding, and applying. If you've ever been to our house, you'll see that there are many books in our house. I spent ages making bookshelves. Julie and myself spend ages filling those bookshelves. Make big bookshelves, then made bigger bookshelves and wider bookshelves. We still fill them. On certain shelves, our books are too deep. You know, one at the front and one at the back. It's wonderful when you think, now where was that book? It's not the front, is it at the back? You can be looking for ages. But there's a wide spectrum of books there, you know, ranging through fiction to study books. Some books you can just pick up, you can read, you can leaf through. Study books, there's maybe one particular thing that you're looking for, so you just read two or three pages. But there's one book in particular that I got a few years ago. It's called Mastering Digital Photography. And this is a little bit different to the other books that we've got. It's written by an expert photographer, and to be honest, some of the photographs in this book are absolutely stunning. But what he's talking about is technique and how to apply these techniques. I've had this book several years, but I haven't finished reading it yet. Because I read something, and then I have to go away and apply what I've learned. And there's no point sort of going on to the next bit until I've finished what he's just been talking about. Talking about composition, about angles, about colour differences. And you read it and then you think, I think it means this. You take a few photos and no, that's not quite what he was on about. It's something slightly different. And you have to work your way through it. And that is what we need to be like with God's Word. We need to read it and then we need to apply it. We might be on our own where God speaks and we need to fit that to our situation. Or it might be from a situation like this where somebody preaches something, something strikes your heart and you think, I've got to apply that. And it might not be easy. You know, I've been at various physiotherapy sessions where they give you exercises to do. And then you go back the week after and say, have you been doing this exercise? You say, yeah, I've been doing this. I said, oh, you haven't got it quite right. You need to be doing this and stretching that bit or whatever. And that's how we need to be with the truths that God speaks to us. We need to be applying them to our lives, not just letting them pass. It's not just theoretical knowledge. It's life application. We understand the principles. We understand what's been said. And then we use them. We build and develop them into our lives because that is what God is about. We read the passage earlier about the ministry gifts. The purpose of the ministry gifts is to build the body of Christ individually and corporately. And we need to respond to the word of God that comes to us. In John 6:66-68, this is what it says. From that time, many of his disciples, the disciples of Jesus, turned back and no longer followed him. He turned round to the others and he said, do you want to leave me too? In verse 68, this is what Simon Peter says. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The words that are preached are the words of eternal life to affect us for now and for eternity. We need to listen to the words. We need to respond to the words, to hold on to the words, to embrace the word and to let it become part of our lives. Because without that, we're lost. It's gone. We listen to the word that God has preached to us by various means, individually, corporately, whatever, and we apply them and we embrace them and make it part of our makeup. We maintain our spiritual life by holding on to and treasuring these words, these eternal value words. Let's seek to understand and apply the sound teaching that we receive to maintain and develop our spiritual lives. Amen.